Okay, welcome back to the Glam Podcast with your host Genesis Velasquez. We have a really great special guest today, one of my best friends, but also a really excellent formulator and brand owner from Essentials Lab, Ariel Maceda.
Wow, that was so nice of you.
I mean, I only speak highly of the people I like.
Anyway.
Yeah, so you're our first guest, really.
Woo-hoo.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's only appropriate given how much history we have and how much we've experienced together. Yeah, mm-hmm. In both the professional and, like, I guess non-professional, but fun setting.
Our work hard, play hard sessions.
Yeah, but, like, yeah. I haven't honestly met anyone like you until recently, now that we're building a community of other folks that are in our industry.
Yeah.
But it was really cool meeting you, since I didn't really know anyone else in my industry that was, one, my age, which is hard to find, mm-hmm. two, a female, and three, someone who had gone through the same experiences that I had, yeah. both professionally and in some cases not professionally, we've related to each other. Especially recently, given that we were, like, in the same kind of corporate-y setting for a while and same academic setting.
Yeah.
I hadn't related to anyone like you, so I think that's where our friendship started, and obviously yeah. it's grown into what the wonderful and, I guess, arguably the wonderful thing that's happened now. But yeah, I'm happy to have you here, one, because you're my friend, but two, because I've watched you accomplish a lot of amazing things in the last 2 years, which is really exciting.
And we have a lot to talk about.
Yeah, we have a lot. Yeah, this will not be the first or last episode with Ariel. I promise you it won't be the last episode with Ariel, because we still, thank God, work together, see each other pretty often. We have a lot to say. Most of the time we haven't grabbed all these conversations on our own. There's a lot to cover. But today specifically, I just wanted to, like, go over how much you've been working on, given that, you know, you've had the Essentials Lab brand for 2 years now, and, you know, things are really revving up for the first time in a different way. I mean, you've had a lot of success, but things are really evolving right now.
Yeah. I think it's really great to, like, be talking about this. One, because, like, the Essentials 2 year is coming up at the end of the month.
Mm-hmm.
But this is also, like, the time that I'm, like, reevaluating, like, you know, where are our, like, weaknesses? Where did we fall? Because last year we made that, like, proposal, and mm-hmm. it was kind of like, what are you going to do for the next year, for 2021? And the funny thing is, I remember you saying, you have accomplished everything that you wanted to accomplish. I, you know, launched the Reformation Serum,
mm-hmm.
got an intern, you know, did all, had an esthetician.
Build the space. The space looks awesome.
Yeah. And you've, like, helped with all of that. So it's been fun. But, like, also, I'm still, like, not quite satisfied, because, like, sales are, like, not quite there. I think it's hard as, like, a chemist and also a business owner to, like, put your mindset into being truly just a business owner and, like, mm-hmm. selling your product, because we want to provide products that are so great for people.
Yeah.
But also it comes with, like, the other side of things of, like, is it at the right price?
Yeah.
Can we sell this? You know, all the other missing pieces. Like, over the years, I remember, like, you know, not factoring in shipping costs of, like, the ingredients or the packaging being shipped to me. And I would take the cost from what I saw online.
Yeah. But
that's not what the cost is, actually, because there's added tax and
you bring
shipping
up a really good point that I think now that people are kind of pursuing their own thing in 2020, like the YOLO economy,
mm-hmm.
I think that we've worked in the R&D space where we've really only had to cultivate the relationships with suppliers in the past and never really had to consider those additional costs. And now that we've been in product development, mm-hmm. and now it's what I do full time, there's a lot, like I always say this, 87% of my job is managing people's expectations. Because we think that, you know, we think of this product or this item as it arrives to us in a store or on a shelf, versus, like, you don't know the intricacies and complexities that have been going on and how many months of development and reformulating or reissuing different costs or how many things you've had to compromise in order to make a good product. So like what you're saying, like you want to give a quality item, but there is also that monetization, and you have to think about like the bottom dollar. Yes, you can have the world's best item for like $300 and like it's the magical pill that keeps everyone young, but you have to also think about who's your demographic, what's the message of your brand, and what kind of cost margins are you supposed to be in. And I think for you, what I saw 2 years ago was that you wanted to create these amazing items, which you have, but at the cost for your specific case, it was at the cost of a cost margin. You didn't make the money that you thought you were going to make.
Yeah.
You are undercutting yourself in certain things. You are working much harder because you didn't consider those things the first time around.
Yeah.
And that's what a lot of entrepreneurs tend to do. And that's what I'm experiencing myself now, is finding value in the amount of work that I'm doing and value in the amount of services or products that I'm providing, or also sharing that information with my clients. So I think you bring up a really important perspective of young folks and entrepreneurs falling into their business for the first time. The passion is there, is what I kept thinking about when you were talking.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're passionate about what you're doing, you're passionate about the product, you know everyone's gonna love it, and you hope to have that and anticipate that love for your product.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it's unfortunately a business, and we have to think about the capitalistic thoughts of, okay, if I'm investing all of this effort, love, and money into this product, at some point it has to give me something back.
Yeah.
And I think that's where a lot of people are at some point in the development of their brands. So you had the understanding of R&D, obviously, like, I love working with you, you're smart in every aspect of formulation. Your products have been successful in their own right. They've been doing really well. People are really happy to receive them. But now you have to think about the business model of your work, which is a whole other job title that takes up a lot of time.
Yeah. I've been like working the last week up until like 1-2 o'clock in the morning, just working on the proposal for investors to like calculate out all of the things that we want to accomplish in the next 6 months. And like, it's coming out to be like a hefty price, and we have to like prioritize what's going to come first. But my largest priority has now become focusing on PR. And I want to really work with this company that I've like spoke to, but it like they're, you know, charging a pretty heavy cost, but it could also have a lot of potential. And like the hard part is like, you have to think about like, okay, so let's say everything goes great with this PR company. Now I have to think about.
And scaling up.
Scaling up.
Which is a whole nother, it's a whole nother investment. I think that people see beauty, especially on the larger scope, as so easy because there's constantly launches. Like, you see constant launches, you see all of the final product. But what people don't consider is how many people and moving pieces are on the other side of that.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're an independent beauty brand, you are the entire team. Like, there's no one else to help you. There's no one else to, at the time, within your budget, right?
Yeah.
And then hopefully
you
grow enough and feel comfortable sharing your space and can afford to share your space with someone to help you throughout the process. But what I find in myself as a brand owner, watching you as a brand owner, and then helping my clients as brand owners, is really that it's all hands on deck, but you're the only set of hands for a while. So as much as you want to see the evolution of your brand, there's a point in time where it's just too much. And I think that's what you were alluding to in our conversation prior to this starting, is that it's getting a little overwhelming.
Yeah, because even, you know, having my sister help for the summer is going to be great.
By the way, my sister is also helping me, and she's here helping us record the podcast. Shout out to families that are supportive. Shout out to families that are like buying your stuff and trying to keep you moving and like posting and reposting. We love you. Thank you.
It's great. But, you know, at the end of the day, there are certain things that, like, I'm looking at my to-do list, and it might be even a simple task, but it's going to take me more time to teach her how to do it versus, like, me just doing it. And, like, we are on a time crunch, you know, like, we don't have time to just, you know, sit around and be, like, you know, teaching everyone.
It's also like delegating as a boss. I mean, obviously one day we hope to hire nothing but lab bench chemists that that are part of the team and that know what they're doing. But having family help in any way they can, sometimes I understand, because sometimes I don't even know how to ask for help because it takes that much longer for me to explain it. I mean, what we do, like, there's a small community of chemists, and I'm sure everyone who's listening is familiar with what we do. There's not a lot of us. It's, you know, we went to school for a reason. It's it's very simple once you've gotten the hang of it, but it's not the easiest thing to do. That's why there's so few of us in STEM. But it is quite difficult to onboard someone for a project when I could have just, like, kind of whipped up a batch by myself. But at the same time, again, like what I mentioned earlier, we're the marketing managers, we're the inventory managers, we're the batchers, we're the ones ordering the labels, ordering inventory, negotiating final costs. So it all of that energy gets expended in different ways, and it is helpful to have an extra set of hands. But I think our point in this conversation is that at some point your business grows with or without you. And it gets to a point where you either have to find an investor so that you can kind of find the money and the means to let go of the reins, or you burn out. And that's what happens to a lot of folks on their own, because we're not the L'Oreals and the Revlons in the world. No one is there to, you know, we're not thinking four campaigns ahead. We're just trying to get through our Christmas offer. So it takes a lot.
I haven't even got to my Christmas stuff.
I mean, it's hard. It's hard too when you have, like, in your case, you're holding down several projects. Like, you're doing a lot of stuff. I mean, we're not going to, like, go into it, but, like, you're doing, providing consulting services, being a formulator full-time, managing your brand full-time, along with, you know, still having a, what I call an investor. So I'm sure. So I'm sure, you know, you can speak the most about prioritizing and managing and how you feel right now. And I'm sure everyone who started a business has felt that way somehow at some point.
And I think especially over the past, like, few months, I've probably felt the most roller coaster emotions of being a business owner, because I have even said over the past few months again that, like, if the rest of this year doesn't pan out, like,
I remember that. That's so sad.
Which is really sad. But I've had multiple thoughts about this. And I'm like, you know, how much longer can I keep doing all of this by myself? You know? So, just like, you have to manage your priorities, but it becomes extremely difficult when you want to, like, please everyone. And start to want to please everyone, and when you only have to, like, you know, for your own brand, I only have to, like, please myself with that stuff. So, like, if I, you know, put essentials off for, you know, a few weeks, and I focus on, you know, every other task going on, whether it's, like,
just, like, living, but also just, like, living and being a person.
I still try to prioritize a social life, but, like, even, like, last week, I, like, canceled almost every single one of my plans except for one. And, like, you know, my friends are, like, constantly doing things. It's like, we're going here Monday, and then we're going here Tuesday, and then, okay, Wednesday. And it's
and then I find for, like, that's, you're speaking of it as, like, a sacrifice for your business. But I sometimes, especially since, like, we're all now in different states, for folks who are listening, like, we both used to work in New York City, the metropolitan area, and now we're kind of in different areas trying to figure out how to make this work. And I think that in the past, us going out was part of our networking and our business and our working, especially prior to COVID, when there were, like, beauty events and meeting a ton of different brand owners and influencers. It meant having fun, like you said, play hard, work hard. But now it's like the sacrifices you've had to make for your business, it gets to a point, like you mentioned, where we have to start thinking about finding an investor or building out a team, and all of that can't be done by itself. And I think that that's what a lot of independent beauty brands or beauty owners are feeling, especially the ones I work with, where it's like they have all of these aspirations and all of these great ideas, but unfortunately our industry isn't built for the little guys. And, you know, when it comes down to, I'm sure some of you are listening, down to, like, ordering a low minimum order quantity or working with a contract manufacturer or even working with a formulator sometimes, a lot of people aren't accommodating And so really it means sometimes, you know, putting, like, rolling up your sleeves and doing it all yourself, and then feeling the way you felt, or like at some point you're like, is this even worth me continuing to pursue it or spend my money and time in it? Which is an unfortunate part of our industry, but that's what I think I've been working to do on my side in my business. Is I truly believe that no one should not have the opportunity to pursue any innovation or any beauty product that they might want to pursue, and that means accommodating to almost any budget and any timeline and making it as accessible. And I have found in my business so many other people that are like-minded and are sick of the big guys kind of like screwing the little ones over, because it's not fair. Like, contract manufacturers are pumping out all of the big, I don't want to start naming brands, but all of the big brands that we see in these like stores, more than you think, are made at the exact same place, is all I'm going to say.
Yep.
And, you know, a lot of it is just smacking a really good name on it, or a kind of a collaboration with an artist or some sort, but you're not getting a product that was fully thought out by an independent person and provides innovation and gives something different than what we've seen in the past. And independent beauty brand owners, that's what they're doing. They're providing all of these awesome ideas, and they just haven't been given a solid footing to start in. It's what a lot of my clients are feeling. It's what you're feeling. And I think that it's something that our industry is, I feel like they're trying to be inclusive with small brands, but after working with many of my clients, I see like retailers and other companies, I don't want to say that it's just like a marketing tactic that we're like, we're grabbing everybody and we want everyone to be included, and indie beauty is, you know, part of our initiative, but it's not easy for indie beauty brands to apply for these things. It costs them money to...
It costs them time,
yeah, and like they have to provide samples and, you know, pay for all of this vendor stuff that didn't exist for them before when they were direct to consumer. And like, I'm speaking more logistically now, but like there's just so many additional costs that by the end of it, it's like, well, I'm in, you know, this big retailer, but I've lost my shirt. I have nothing.
Yeah.
I have nothing left, and I can't, you know, I don't know what to do with it. But my brand is now at this big retailer, maybe.
Yeah.
So it kind of sucks for small independent beauty brands, and like they're trying their best to keep up with everything and do it all themselves. And I think that's what you're feeling right now, is just like you're at that phase where your brand is 2 years old. It's had its success, and now there's a next step, but it means an investment in both time and a lot more energy.
It kind of makes me think of the launch of Essentials, and I remember you and another friend of ours, and you guys said, this is going to take off. This is just going to blow up right away, and it's because you guys knew what the formulas were like. You knew all about me. You knew my story. You knew the potential for Essentials, but not everyone else knew that.
Yeah.
So I think because you believed in it so much, it was like a great feeling at the time, but like it also was unrealistic for me to think that it was just going to take off on its own without any other work that needed to be put in.
I don't think that your brand lacks work, because the work is there. I think that it's more what I just mentioned. I think that it's just not a level playing field.
Yeah.
Because I still stand by the fact that your brand is exactly what someone would need. It's still effective. If more people had their hands on it, it would easily blow up. I can't imagine someone not responding as well as everyone that I've seen use it has. I just think that it's not, there isn't an opportunity. You just haven't fallen into the opportunity for other people to see it. That's not your, it's not something that you're not doing, because you're doing everything. It just, it is built to play against you. You need to spend the big bucks to be recognized in this industry, unfortunately. I mean, even a lot of our favorite products, there are all conglomerates and soaked up by these bigger companies. Like there's not a single product that you love that you think was at some point independent, and now it's one of the big guys. It's just a part of subsidiary of the big guys. So I think, even looking at quote unquote independent brands as they're advertised when it comes to commercialized ones, those guys now have a lot more backing and have, you know, they're able to get into magazines, they're able to get on YouTubers, YouTube channels, they're able to get the recognition that true independent beauty brands don't have the option of getting unless they invest in a certain way. I mean, there's a lot of good companies starting now. Like I said, I'm starting to build a relationship with folks, and companies that are trying to do that. But I think it's a long ways out. So it's not that you're not working hard enough. It's not that your brand doesn't have the efficacy that it has. It's good. It works.
Yeah.
But it's just that the deck is against you when it comes to building out the stuff, especially if you're an independent, true independent the way you are. Mm-hmm. Until someday that someone wants to like throw some money at you or even just like that one good, I mean, being part of subscription boxes like you've been, I think that was awesome.
Yeah.
It definitely helps. Really cool. But the amount of work that it took for you to just even be a part of that, that's a tall order in and of itself. So, yeah, I don't think that, I mean, I've come across so many great beauty brands with a lot of great ideas.
Yeah.
It's just that it's not easy to get revved up and it's not easy to get recognition, especially in our space, because it is so saturated. Mm-hmm. And every day there's a freaking new brand.
Especially quote unquote
new. Yeah, quote unquote new if we think about it. Yeah. And I'm sure a lot of chemists listening know exactly what we're talking about. Yeah.
Name dropping.
I mind because you never know. We might get huge one day, and we'll be able, like, I don't know. I hope one day to work with a lot of brands and be like, hey, the thing you've been making, awesome idea. However, let me show you how to make it better, because you're missing an entire demographic of folks.
True.
Because you're too busy being like a marketing machine. So
yeah,
I think that's the message I have been trying to promote is like, look at the little guys. They've got all these awesome ideas. You just have to like, it means a little bit more time and development. Yeah, it means an initial low margin, like development and like you're not getting 20,000 pieces in the first run.
Right.
But you can be part of something really cool.
Yeah.
But that's not our industry yet.
We're getting there.
I hope so. Especially seeing like all of these folks start their own thing. Like you've been a really big inspiration starting your own brand. Kind of just going for it. What is it that you say?
Pulling the trigger.
And then like seeing all these other folks in our community now, like fully start their own consulting agencies, doing R&D, like every one of you have been such a big inspiration for me, knowing that like, okay, if I don't like the way things are, I'm going to just do it myself.
Yeah.
As hard as it is. It's going to be fine. Yeah.
We were just talking about how I make things 10 times harder than they need to be, but it's also because I have a vision in mind, and it's gonna take time to kind of like break that seal of like, you know, tearing down the barriers that are like put in front of us as business owners, as in the cosmetic industry especially, because one thing that I've learned is like selling products is a whole different ball game versus selling your services. It is so much easier for me to simply calculate how much of each ingredient we need to produce for, you know, a client.
Like formulating a good formula.
I can do that on my computer pretty easily.
It's because you're smart. Like, not every... I think that you're... I'm going to just interject for a second. You make formulation seem so easy, and folks go to school for that. Like, you went to school for that. But folks... I know some folks that have their master's degrees and don't formulate the way you do. And I think that you make formulation seem so easy, like, especially since we've been working together. I have folks that are like, you guys are too efficient. And it's like, no, it's Ariel. Like, it's 100% you, because it makes sense in your head. So for you, yes, formulation is more accessible than selling a product.
Right. Yeah. Like getting the packaging together. Like when we have a client doing all this, they are sending us their packaging. They're figuring out how much, like, do I need to sell this for?
In some cases, Genesis is doing it, but I make it look easy for y'all. Side note.
you are doing a lot of that stuff, and which is so helpful because then I don't have to do that.
Yeah, you get to just do what you're good at.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which makes it feel easy.
That's the goal.
So, yeah. Having the brand has been, like, right now, I think I'm just, like, in my roller coaster moment where, like, I dropped to the bottom after a huge high of, like, launching the facial lab. And now I'm kind of like, okay, how do we retain customers? How do we get repeat customers? How do we get new customers? And it's just exhausting. I'm tired.
And it's the logistics part that exhausts.
Yeah,
you. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I don't have that experience, but I also don't have the money to hire someone.
Yeah.
To do that, you know. So.
Yeah, I think that's what we've seen too, like online, like Instagram and TikTok, how small businesses, you really are the backbone of everything that happens until you get an amazing opportunity. Mm-hmm. The good thing is, I'm glad that it didn't stop you from continuing the brand. And I hope that it doesn't stop you from continuing the brand.
Yeah.
Because it is something that I still, you know, believe very strongly in. And honestly, there's nothing better than working for yourself.
Yes.
In the future, like once, yes, you know, everything kind of works itself out. But there's nothing, sure, better than being your own boss. I mean, we can have a whole other episode about working for others and how it feels. I think that'll be our next episode, talking, yes, about like working for others versus working for yourself and how it really, yeah, takes its toll. It's like I'd rather be working the 60, 70 sometimes hours for myself, mm-hmm, knowing that, you know, maybe it'll get there. It'll eventually get there.
Yeah.
Versus like just kind of feeling the burnout from something completely different.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm glad you've kept the brand going. I'm excited for what's to come. I hope you don't get discouraged. I'm here to help you, yeah, in any way I can.
Of course, of course.
And to our listeners, check out Essentials Lab. They are, what's your Instagram and your website for finding Essentials Lab and the facial lab?
It's just Essentials Lab on Instagram. Essentials_facial lab, I believe, for, you know, our Grand Rapids location. And then we also have essentialslab.com where you can purchase all the products. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah. I think, you can also set up, I mean, if you're in the Grand Rapids area, I don't know anyone in the Grand Rapids area, but you can set up a facial at the facial lab through the website as well.
Yeah.
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 So Ariel's always posting different promotions. Most of them are usually like flash sales. So definitely follow them on Instagram to find any new products. Is there anything else you want to talk about?
No, not today.
Yeah, we will be back. I've got some ideas. And first of all is talking about working for others, especially in light of everything that's happened recently in our cosmetic science community. There's a lot to talk about. Yeah, there's a lot to talk about. Well, thank you for being a part of the podcast. Thank you, yeah, for being the first guest.
Of course.
I'm so excited.
It's fun.
There's going to be more.
Start.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope people receive it well.
You just saying that, it reminds me, yeah, we could talk about, I forget, there's so many other aspects to Essentials that, like, I didn't even, you know, like, think to mention right now, which we were just working on, like, the social justice initiatives. And that would kind of like fall into like the talking about what's going on in our community right now with, yeah, like cosmetic science bliss.
Yeah. So we'll be back. Thank you guys for joining us. Thank you, Ariel, for, yes, being a part of it.
Thank you.
We'll see you soon. Be sure to comment, like, and subscribe to the podcast and let us know in the comments if you have any ideas or if you want to be part of the conversation. Feel free to reach out to The Glam Chemist on Instagram. Thank you for your time. See you later.